that was See Swallow Me by Cocteau Twins. Well, yes, Cocteau Twins and Harold Budd. From their 1986 album, The Moon and the Melodies. What an album! Oh my gosh.
Yes,
to talk about an artist with such a wide-ranging and, in my opinion, perfect discography, it's such a joy. Moving into the late 1980s of Cocteau Twins, they, at this point, are still with 4AD, that record label that we talked about, but they also signed with Capitol Records for larger distribution in the U.S.
Big guy.
And oh, does it change things. They released their fifth album, Bluebell Knoll. Knoll, I should say here.
Bluebell Knoll.
It's spelt with a K-N-O-L-L. Actually, I'm looking it up right now.
What
and
is
it's,
a knoll?
It's named after a peak in southern Utah. I believe a knoll is like a hill.
I think of like the Hobbit.
Well, I mean, perhaps. But they released this in 88, sorry to misspeak. And because they're with Capitol Records, it is a huge hit. Well, I mean, it's not a huge hit, but like it's a huge hit.
Yeah.
They only released one promotional single from the album called Carolyn's Fingers, which is played a ton in the U.S., and then that reaches number 2 on the Billboard Alternative Song Charts. This album, for me, as a Cocteau Twins, like, massive fan, is one of my faves of their discography, but also just in general. I think it has a really strong, cohesive sound.
Mm-hmm.
It really captures Elizabeth's voice at its peak. The lead single, Carolyn's Fingers, please go listen to it. She reaches these high notes on the chorus, which, like, they don't sound humanly possible. Wow, Lynn just did a really good in-studio impression of that incredible record. This is, again, Elizabeth singing in her own made-up language. I'm reading here from an interview that it just, like, they had a lot of more creativity and freedom, and they were getting along as a band really well together, which you will see later. It does not exactly happen well for them because things will end poorly, but in the late 80s, things are going really well for them. Elizabeth singing in her made-up language.
Well, the lyrics to Carolyn's Fingers, when he said, "You were full of love, she fell down into this dirty mess."
Listen, these aren't the real lyrics.
These aren't the real lyrics?
People love to go online and make up fake lyrics for Cocteau Twins, and I find it really funny because everyone's like, "What are they singing?" I'm like, you're not supposed to know. But I will say this album features a lot of, like, I mean, things are dedicated to specific things. There's a song called Athol Bros, which is named after a Scottish drink. There's a song called Ella Mega Last Burls Forever, which is dedicated to Robin Guthrie's mother. And the song that we're going to play for you now is my personal favorite from the record, and also just one of the greatest songs ever. It's called A Kissed Out Red Float Boat, and it is so romantic and lush, and it makes me feel like I'm in the end credits of, like, a beautiful romantic movie. So this is A Kissed Out Red Float Boat.
Also, you know, we should have committed to the bit and just done a whole Scottish accent the whole time.
Guys, run it back.
Scottish heritage.
Do we?
Yeah, well, don't you have a family member that has a Scottish accent?
I have, like, British family members.
Oh, okay, because, like, my mom's family, my mom's mom is from
Lynn,
Scotland.
Lynn, lock it in.
I have cousin Jane.
Once we listen to the song and come back, you have to be doing a Scottish accent.
Yeah, my cousin Jane has been in Canada for 30 years, and she still is the thickest bro.
That's dedication to the bit. Anyway, here is A Kissed Out Red Float Boat. That was, as Lynn wants me to say, a kissed out red float boat. I'm so sorry to any of our, like, perhaps one Scottish person listening right now.
Do you know any Scottish people?
No.
Offhand?
Thankfully,
I just
no.
know my family.
They would make fun of me for that accent.
They live in, like, Prince George, though. So. What? Scottish people in Prince George.
Hello to crazy. The Scots in Prince George.
Yeah. My cousins Jane and Elfie. Shout out Jane and Elfie. They're real ones. I see them, like, once a year. All right. So next up, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. Wow. Heaven or Las Vegas?
Hello to Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh. You have absolutely heard about Heaven or Las Vegas. That is probably what you associate Cocteau Twins with more than anything else.
Yeah.
Especially the title track, especially Cherry Colored Funk.
When I tell anyone about Cocteau Twins, they go, who is that? And then they look them up on any streaming service and they go, oh, I've heard this song. And they're usually referring to Heaven or Las Vegas or Cherry Colored Funk.
Yeah.
Without fail, they're like, oh, I know this album cover. Oh, I know this song.
And to be fair, 14-year-old me, like, that's how I got into Cocteau Twins. I watched The Perks of Being a Wallflower when I was like 11 or 12. And I'm like, oh, Cocteau Twins. And I'm like, oh, Heaven or Las Vegas. Oh, Cherry Colored Funk.
That is so interesting.
I
have a very different story of how I got into Cocteau Twins.
Wait, we should have talked about this. Okay. Let's hear it.
This is the weirdest way to learn about an artist. I want everyone to lock back in. It's like 2018 or 19. I'm following what is now Troye Sivan's ex-boyfriend, Jacob Bixenman, on Instagram. This is peak, like, Julia uses too much social media.
This is, like, peak YouTuber era.
No,
gay
I know.
YouTuber
well,
era.
This Troye Sivan's a pop star at this point, but his ex-boyfriend did a Q&A on his Instagram story.
Happy Little
story.
Pill. That's a song.
That's 2014.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Like, we're later on.
Later, okay.
Someone asks Jacob what his, like, one of his favorite albums is. He lists Heaven or Las Vegas. I'm 15 or 16 at this point. I've never heard of Cocteau Twins. I listen to this album. My life has changed. I'm like, oh, so music can sound good.
Rather than Heaven or Las Vegas. Like,
just type in Cocteau Twins to your local streaming service and go crazy.
But no. You're going to listen to this
gonna
whole
listen.
Thing, and you're going to listen to the songs in between.
Okay, Heaven or Las Vegas. Let's get back on track about that album. That is their most commercially successful album, as you said. It's what they're known for.
So it's certified silver by the British Phonographic Industry. It sold 235,000 copies by 1996, according to Billboard. And so after that, they left for AD. They had some trouble with the producers. Also, Robin was abusing drugs, and we're going to get into that too. He had a little bit of a problem.
A little bit of a problem. Wow.
Sorry. Yeah, he abused substance. What was he?
And being in a musical and professional partnership with your wife and having a kid together and releasing several albums together, it's going to do a number on your mental health. I can only be so serious.
He had some substance abuse issues, and he was not so great to Elizabeth.
Nope. That's what happens when you make a lifelong partnership, professional partnership, you're creative with someone. As happens in the music industry. But we're going to talk about a song.
And we're going to listen to Frou Frou Foxes, which is, like, the last song off the album. Also, you know Imogen Heap has a project called Frou Frou?
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's some kind of...
I've always wondered this. I think Frou Frou, if you've not heard of Imogen Heap, she's, like...
I think she's definitely inspired by Cocteau
I'm obsessed Twins. With her.
I love her.
But, yeah, no, Frou Frou Foxes, I think it's Frou Frou Fox in Midsummer's Fires. Is that the full
That's
track
full,
name?
We call it Frou Frou Foxes.
It's such an interesting track from this album because it's such a slow build-up to, like, a euphoric, explosive chorus. It's... I think if you're listening to the first 2 minutes, you're going to be like, this song is kind of weird. Give it time. It's so good. And if you want to get into more Cocteau Twins after this episode, this is the album where I think you should start, Heaven or Las Vegas. It just sort of, I mean, it's their most popular. It's their most, it just sounds the most to them, in my opinion. So, here is Frou Frou Foxes in Midsummer's Fires.
From coast to coast, people are tying red ribbons on more than just gifts this year. Join thousands of Canadians and show your commitment to safe and sober driving with Mad Canada's Project Red Ribbon. This small but mighty ribbon is a visual reminder to everyone to drive sober, especially during the holiday season.
That was Frou Frou Foxes in Midsummer Fires.
What a song.
What a song. It makes me feel, like, euphoric almost listening to it. I just feel like... I like listening to it in the winter, almost. It feels like a winter song.
It feels,
Heaven or Las Vegas is a very ice... Well, the song Ice Blink Luck, obviously.
That to me is...
It's a very winter
it's an all,
for
me. It's an all year. It's an all-rounder.
For me, it's like when it's really cold and sunny outside. That's when I like listening to Heaven or Las Vegas.
Oh, true.
And then, after that, Robin Guthrie and Elizabeth Fraser have a daughter named Lucy Bell. Mm-hmm. We talked about that in 1989. The name is used a lot in Four Calendar Cafe, which we're going to talk about now.
It's their next album from 1993. And it brings a lot of abundance, and it's like just a very happy album. It's more pop forward than previous releases. I keep saying this, but like as they evolve as a band, as does their sound, that's kind of what happens in bands. But it's very, yeah, it's more poppy, more fun, and some of the songs on this album actually have real English language lyrics.
Also, yeah, crazy, right? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, Bluebeard. Like, are you the right man for me?
Yeah.
Or are you better a friend? I wonder if that's about...
Yeah.
Tea.
I know, as I said, like, you said, like, Lucy is mentioned on the album a lot. But there's one song where she says, I'm glad you are a girl. And then she talks about, I'm not afraid of your anger.
Yeah.
What do you need? What do you want? She's talking about being a parent, navigating the give and take of that. It's just a very, you can tell she's just become a mom, and it's that new life that's been breathed into her.
It's just so beautiful. And then she had kids with someone else later on.
Later,
after they get divorced and everything. And I think Lucy's an adult now.
Yes.
But, like, lived with her and her new husband. Well, not new, but at the time new. Yeah, and also, didn't Faye Wong cover the whole album, or was it just some songs off of Four Calendar Cafe?
She covered some off of that album, then some off of their next. If you don't know who Faye Wong is,
yeah, briefly,
she's
talk about Faye Wong.
Like a renowned Chinese singer.
She's from Hong Kong.
I'm so sorry. She is a Hong Kong singer. She sings in both Cantonese and Mandarin. She's very, very famous. And
she's in Wong Kar Wai.
She's also an actor. I forgot that.
That's where people know her from.
But she released a lot of albums that were... she was very heavily inspired by Cocteau Twins, and they actually did write a lot of songs for her and collaborated with her, which I think is just great, because their sounds are so similar.
For sure. Let's see how much we can actually put into this live episode, and we might have to add some of the other songs in post. We'll see what we can do.
It'll be a deluxe treat if you're listening not live, and you're listening on the RSS, because you're going to get so many other little bangers.
But maybe we will. We're going to figure that out later.
We'll fix it in post.
Anyways, so... Robin Guthrie and Elizabeth Fraser divorced in 1993 because Liz was fed up with his substance abuse.
I don't blame
And he
her.
Was just awful. And you know what? They were together for 13 years, though, which was wild. And then after the... Pretty soon after the divorce, Liz Fraser has a situationship with Jeff Buckley, which in a 2002 BBC documentary interview, Liz talks about this. And they basically... she describes it as, like, a very, like, emotional, like, intimate relationship, friendship kind of thing. And she, you can see it in her eyes, like, she just feels, like, so entranced by him. And she says, yeah, we used to, like, share our diaries with each other.
Oh, that always gets me.
I started crying. Okay, the Jeff Buckley movie, we both of us, like, I don't cry ever.
That movie.
I struggle to cry.
Dear me.
I bawled my eyes out. It was just so, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she had a situationship with him. Apparently, he said, like, oh, I don't think of Liz that way. And, like, she was like, yeah. So there seems to be some kind of...
I can't believe that.
...misalignment. I don't believe it. I think, you know what? And she wasn't featured in the Jeff Buckley documentary. There's also a song that they had together, which I believe we wrote down.
That's All Flowers in Time and Towards the Sun, which... I deeply love that song. It's only available on YouTube because it was unreleased.
Yeah, she was not happy about that at all.
Out of respect, it should have not been released. It's a very, like, demo-y track. You can hear them laughing and moving around in the studio. I don't think it was meant for release because it is so intimate and personal. But it's a really good song.
And then also Lullabies to Violin Volumes, which we have here on a
CD. Okay. Lullabies to Violin is... a compilation that was released in 2005 and 2006 of all the some singles tracks, some EPs, some like LP tracks, and then some bonus tracks that were never really released. And there are two different volumes of them, because as I said, like, they released EPs throughout their career, and between Four Calendar Cafe in 1993 and then their last album, which we'll talk about in a second, Milk and Kisses, in 1996, they released a bunch of EPs with some singles. They released some Christmas songs. They did a Frosty the Snowman like cover.
Yeah, if we have time, we'll throw it in there.
Why not? One of my favorite tracks from one of their EPs is High Monkey Monk. What a funny name. To me, this is like a true underrated banger. No one's really heard of this song. It's very like sensual and like... to me, I feel like I'm in like a red velvet room listening to it with like incense burning.
Not in a Twin Peaks way.
No.
Also, let's talk about, for the sake of time, we're going to do some back-to-backs. So yes. We'll talk about Milk and Kisses.
Oh my god. This is their final album. This is made up of a bunch of tracks they released on different EPs throughout the early 90s. It returns to their initial form of, like, heavy layered guitars.
But not in a shoegaze way, yeah, as we've said. Yep. Cocteau Twins are not shoegaze. I will put that on a t-shirt. That's a bumper sticker.
That's
kind
a bumper
of thing.
Sticker.
No, I've had so many people say to me, are Cocteau Twins shoegaze? No, they're not. And I sound horrible because I'm very anti-genre purist, but they're not shoegaze.
No, you can be a purist for this one. And as Lynn mentioned, like, Guthrie and Fraser go through a terrible divorce, and yet the recording of this album, they both have said, was, like, very joyous. And you can so hear that in the recording. Milk and Kisses, I think, might be one of, I mean, I keep saying this, but it's one of my favorite Cocteau Twins albums. Probably my first or second favorite. It's so joyous. If I'm ever sad, it's the best thing to listen to. And my very favorite track that we're going to play is Ups, spelled unlike UPS, like the delivery service. To me, it just embodies joy, happiness, and that Cocteau Twins positivity. And it's just like serotonin for your ears. Milk and Kisses, the 1997 album by Cocteau Twins, 1996, sorry, misspoke, which would sadly turn out to be Cocteau Twins' very final studio album.
Ooh.
They, I know, actually so heartbreaking to talk about. In 1997, they were recording their 9th, I believe, LP, but the band disbanded during the recording due to irreconcilable differences. And there are many half-finished songs that they've all stated will never be released because of the sort of, you know, internal turmoil and sadness that brings with it, which makes sense for them. As a super fan, it kind of sucks because I would give anything for more Cocteau Twins.
Right.
They were actually contacted in 2005 to do a comeback reunion at Coachella in 2005. They were each offered like over £1.5 million each. And they were like, no.
There's like not
And that makes sense. Elizabeth Fraser and Robin Guthrie going through a nasty divorce. You don't want to reunite with your ex-husband and ex-creative partner. So that makes sense. It's a sad ending, but I think the music that they did put out in their years together is, I mean, yeah, second to none. My favorite band of all time. My favorite music of all time.
Yeah, and also they have some solo stuff. Robin releases music under his own name, and then you were telling me about
Sun's Signature. Well,
just briefly, because we're running low on time here.
Liz has a lot of, she's done a lot of vocal work. She did a lot of vocals for the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. Yeah, you heard me right. She's done stuff with Massive Attack, and her current husband, I forget his name, but he's a former drummer for Echo and the Bunnymen, and he's a percussionist, and they have a project called Sun's Signature, which came out 2022.
Yeah.
Totally recommend. Worth a listen. It's like Cocteau Twins, but of course nothing can be exactly the same.
But it's a similar sound.
Ethereal, dream poppy, got her beautiful angelic vocals. Everything you could want from modern day Liz Fraser.
Anyways, this was Lynn and Julia.
Lynn and Julia.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. This was our Cocteau Twins deep dive.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for appreciating Cocteau Twins with me.
I hope you learned some stuff.
I hope you enjoyed what you heard.
Thank you for indulging. We're both autistic. We literally are both autistic. So, like, thank you for indulging us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned for Bitcoover at 8. This is Bird Note. The tropical forests of southern Mexico are filled with songbirds, and this wren is one of the rarest. The sumacrest wren is a sooty brown bird about the size of a sparrow. They have long, straight bills and short, round wings that give their bodies a plump appearance. And though they mostly skulk out of sight, that haunting voice is crystal clear. Sumacrest wrens are found in only a dozen or so locations in the tropical forests around Oaxaca and Veracruz. Their preferred habitat is often on steep hills, and always includes limestone outcrops that provide the perfect crevices to build their nests and a natural amphitheater to show off their vocal feats. Another little brown bird in this region, called the Nava's wren, lives in the same type of habitat, but their ranges don't overlap. Until the 1990s, scientists thought that Nava's wren and sumacrest wren were separate populations of the same species. But listen to the Nava's wren sing. Now, here again is the sumacrest wren. Genetic studies eventually proved that these birds are distinct species, each with their own way to serenade their forest homes. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Bird Note is an independent nonprofit that relies on the generosity of listeners like you to bring the stories you love to life. Stories that connect us to birds and inspire people everywhere to help them thrive. Your contribution to Bird Note plays a vital role in shining a light on what birds need and what we can all do to care for them. You can support Bird Note's work by visiting birdnote.org and making a donation today.
Hey, if you are tuned in live, you are most likely going to miss the last few songs because we are at the end of the hour because we did so much yapping about Cocteau Twins. But fear not, if you follow me on social media, I'm going to be posting the RSS link and it will include the whole thing. Next few songs are going to be Frou Frou Foxes, Squeeze Wax, Hi Monkey Monk, which is one of Julia's favorites, and Ups.
Girl who knows has got another. listening to